Amen. You may be seated. Happy Friday. Hope College. Yes. As we end week 5, the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Hey, we have some visitors checking out Hope College. We want to welcome you to our campus. Yes. Yes. So my unsolicited advice, don't just choose a brand name. Choose a people. Choose Hope. Yes, amen? Amen? Let's give it up again for Hope College. You got this. A couple notices. One, I want to draw your attention to the Harvey Prayer Chapel in the Boltman Center. We've got some pictures of Dr. Jonathan Haygood, who passed away last week. And we've got within the prayer chapel just some opportunity to write cards or notes, anything for the family. So even if you didn't know Dr. Haygood, come by. It'll be open all next week. Just come by, write a verse, write a prayer, write a thought, and we're going to collect these, and we're going to put them together for the family. So I invite you to do that as well. We've got a big weekend ahead of us. Yeah? Huh? Huh? Yeah? Right. I hope you win. Just remember, after the end of this, we're all on the same team. It's all good. I also want to introduce our next covenant partner, churches that we've been partnering with in our ministry, Pillar Church, and their pastor, John Brown, is with us today. Would you welcome Johnny? John is a 1990 Hope College graduate. We met in that corner right there in the winter of 1996. So you never know. Someday you might just end up here. He's going to continue our series in 1 Timothy. And again, before he preaches, let me pray. Lord Jesus, may your word be our measure, and may it be a light unto our feet, that we might find the narrow path that leads us into the high country of the Trinity, where we will see you face to face, and in seeing you, know the truth that we are loved. In your holy name we pray, Christ. And everyone said, amen.
Thank you, Trigg. And thank you for letting me be with you today. I love this place. And I love this weekend. It's pull weekend. 121 years of tugging war. Even year up in here. Odd years around here. All right, I'm gonna let you all have fun this weekend. I wanna introduce you to a friend of mine. His name is Steve. My guess is a few of you know him and a bunch of you have seen him. He's the guy kicking up dust on Pillar's front lawn when he mows. Pillar's on the corner of 9th and College. Steve is, he likes to wear a short sleeve collared shirt with a little rooster up here. He's kind, he's thoughtful, he's generous. He would give you the shirt off of his back if you asked, and the cinnamon roll on his plate if you wanted it, and the coffee in his mug if you needed it. He is a beautiful human being. He likes to have fun, too. A couple weeks ago, one of our staff colleagues parked their bike at Pillar but didn't lock it up. So Steve found an extension cord in the garage, tied it to the bike, and hoisted the bike up into the tree. That's Steve. Steve, he's a deacon. Deacons are designated people in the life of the church that help the church care for the poor in the community. The word means servant. It means more specifically one who waits at table. Even more precisely, it means one who kicks up dust, making haste. Steve has been kicking up dust for a long, long time. About a year ago, he started noticing his speech was slurring. He was having a hard time getting out some of the simplest words. We all laughed with him and teased him for a while. In January, he went to the doctor and was diagnosed with ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, a degenerative disease that affects the muscles. Sometimes it starts on the extremities, the hands and the feet, and works its way in. Other times it starts from the inside and works its way out. So now he has a hard time talking. Swallowing is difficult. Steve gave testimony at Pillar a couple of months after his diagnosis. I want to tell you a little bit about that in a minute, but only because I want that to help you understand this. from 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 8 through 13. Deacons, like bishops, must be prudent, not double-tongued, not indulging in much wine, not greedy for money. They must hold fast to the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. And let them first be tested, then if they prove themselves blameless, let them serve as deacons. Women, likewise, must be prudent, not slanderers, but temperate, faithful in all things. Let deacons be married only once, and let them manage their children and their households well. For those who serve well as deacons gain a good standing for themselves and great boldness in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now I realize it's Friday and you all woke up this morning hoping chapel would be about deacons. So here's what I thought we could do. Let's just burrow into one little section of those verses towards the very end, that they may gain great boldness in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. In other words, through the life of the diaconate, through the life of deacons, the Christian faith would be given a good reputation, which is actually something that seems to repeat itself over and over throughout Scripture, and not just concerning deacons, but all of us, that our lives would give a good reputation to the faith that is in Christ Jesus. So I'm wondering, you can wonder too, does your life give the Christian faith a good reputation? The way you interact with your friends, does it give the Christian faith a good reputation? The way you interact with your enemies, does that give the Christian faith a good reputation? The way you engage people who like you and the people who don't like you, who think like you or disagree with you, the way you interact with them, does that give the Christian faith a good reputation? Other places in scriptures, you are the fullness of him who fills all in all. You are my witnesses. You are the light of the world. Does your life give the Christian faith a good reputation? That they may gain great boldness in the faith that is in Christ Jesus, which is why I wanted to tell you about my friend Steve. He gives the Christian faith a good reputation. Since his diagnosis, he's gotten all kinds of emails and all sorts of letters, like actual snail mail and texts. People reflecting for him on the way his life has impacted them. People who had left faith, people who wanted nothing to do with church, now coming back to faith and coming back to church because they've seen Steve. And somehow in seeing Steve, they get a glimpse of Jesus. When he gave testimony a couple of months ago, he recited Psalm 23. Do you know that psalm? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. It goes on and it ends. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. On that day at Pillar, he was honest about the sadness. He was honest about the pain. His speech was slurring. But he insisted, surely goodness and mercy, goodness and mercy, goodness and mercy. He was giving witness to the Christian faith. Does your life give the Christian faith a good reputation? So you're going to be off doing stuff this weekend. Some of you will be in a basement of an off-campus house. Does your life give the Christian faith a good reputation? Some of you are going to be in a relationship after parietals. Does your life give the Christian faith a good reputation? You are the fullness of him who fills all in all. You are my witnesses. You are the light of the world. Amen? Amen. Go in peace.